Have you all had a good week? Well, that's about 10 of you. It's nice to see you this morning, and we've already had a good time together in the presence of the Lord. Mira and I often pray a prayer, a very short one. God, I'll take everything that you have for me today. We probably do that about two or three times during the day. And when I arrived this morning, I thought, well, everything's all nice and neat and prepared. And then I discovered that I hadn't prepared for the children's part. So Graham very quickly put that together, and I think that was excellent. At very, very short notice, putting something together that the children could take part in. I was wondering about these people with the shuttlecocks. I wouldn't like to get too near them because they were pretty wild with those rackets. I thought to myself, don't get too close. But it's good to see you today. And we're continuing our talks, our studies in the book of Colossians. And I know all of the Word of God is valuable, but the thing is that it's always good to read right through some of these passages. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole book today, but I think that we'll read a few verses, and then I will give you some pointers that I hope will be an encouragement to you and bless you, and through the next week as you dwell upon some of these, you will be able to be further blessed. I always say that just because someone prepares and stands up and speaks, it doesn't mean to say that that is the final dissertation on all that is in that particular scripture. And increasingly, I'm encouraging people to actually get into the book and find out other things that you can tell me. Encourage yourself and encouraging others. That's what it is about. It's not just someone standing up and going for it. It's about us all being encouraged by the scriptures. Just a few verses I'm reading today from the, which one is this? This is the New Living Translation. Very often, if you're traveling around and you go into some bookstores that are getting shot of a lot of books, very often you can pick up a good bargain in a Bible. I haven't done this lately, but very often people do house clearance and they clear Bibles and good books, scripture books, along with what is in the house. And very often, for probably about a pound, you could pick up a very good book that would be an encouragement. Some people say, well, I don't like reading books that other people have handled. Well, that's choice. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or in a celebration, or certain holy days, a new moon, ceremonies, Sabbaths, for these are only shadows of the reality. Yet to come as Christ himself did, don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial. Thing is that as I was reading through these scriptures during the past couple of weeks, I thought, this is a personal view, that really this scripture, these scriptures, must be probably amongst the best that Paul wrote. They are fantastic, because my opening point is from Colossians, let no one disqualify you. Is that up on the screen? It works. The system works. I know there's a God. I do know that. He's with me all the time. So the thing is, have you ever been disqualified? Have you ever been told you're not good enough? Ever been told even your best is not good enough? Well, I don't know about you. I don't watch television absolutely every day. But have you ever watched The Apprentice? Many people here have watched The Apprentice. What's a few of you? You've watched The Apprentice. Is he up there? That Alan Sugar. Good night alive. He's getting paid loads of dosh for insulting people the way he does. I don't know, but I'm not a violent person, but I think if there was one person I'd like to hit a punch in the nose, it would be Alan Sugar. And it's not because... It's good to see you laughing. But it's not because he's or was the owner of Tottenham Hotspur Club. It's nothing to do with that. It's just the way that he speaks to people. Can you imagine if you were on the Apprentice show, and the thing is that you didn't make it, you didn't get through, and you go for a job interview, and the manager of the company who's interviewing you recognizes you. You were a contestant on that show, and you didn't get through. Do you know, the thing is that you may not be the best for a manager of a company, but when you have the Lord Jesus in your life, you are the best for God. The thing is, I did watch a little bit of tennis this week. Not because I'm a great fan of tennis, but I thought I'll sit down and watch it. There was a young woman came on, I can't even remember her name, but she was listed at 229th in the world. And she put on a very good show. She really did go for it. And I thought, most people, if you told them that they were 200th or 229th, you would just say, forget it. You know, you would just forget it. But you know, I believe in God's eyes, for those who love him, we are all number ones. We're not at the bottom of the pile. And when we have got God on our side, it's probably the most precious thing that we have. That's how much we are valued. God loves us with an everlasting love. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You know, that is the value that God places on each one of us. When we come to him, accept him into our lives, we are a little lower than the heavenly beings. He doesn't place us in a pecking order. You know, you're number one and you're number whatever, whatever, whatever. We are all number ones. As I've said, and I'll repeat it, it's one of the most profound letters that Paul wrote. It's full of spiritual truth, and I believe it is written greatly that we need as believers to think about these words, because I believe it's greatly needed for today. You know, when you listen and you travel around, it seems to be so many people these days telling us we need a little bit more of this and we need a little bit more of that. And, you know, they go on and on and on. And today, I think more than ever before, we need to be aware of the false teachers who are about. Some people will say you need this, some people will say you need that. And they will keep on and keep on. We have people knock on our doors and tell us they've really got what it needs. They've heard from God. This, you know, quite honestly, if we have got God in our lives and we keep in constant contact with him, we have got all that we need. We don't need anybody coming on the door, whatever they claim to be, and tell us this is what we need. Apparently in this country, it's not so bad, but if we go to some other countries, you know, they're almost on your doorstep 24/7 telling you, oh, we know the way to heaven and this is what you do, and most of them want to take your money from you. But the thing is that when we know that we have God in our lives, we have the answer. I think the only thing about it is that if they rap on your door, it gives you a good opportunity to witness to them. You know, never let them go thinking that you're just freewheeling. Just tell them what your belief is, how you found Christ. It's the easiest testimony you can give if someone comes and wants to pester you with some new fallacy that they've got in their minds. The Apostle Paul affirms that what we need, appropriation of what Christ has already done in us. Don't let anyone rob you of the glorious liberty we have in Christ. You know, we are liberated and we are not under the law, so we are free people. We have been blessed with the grace of God, and that is something that we can all enjoy together. Fullness of Christ that we have. Man-made disciples or regulations. Disciples cannot place the riches I have in God's Son. No one can replace that. That's why very often that we need to be focused as we read his word, as we dwell upon them. These few chapters kind of begin to mine, as I've said, all the nuggets, all the treasures that are in the letter. You know, I wonder what would happen if we all took the letter of Colossians seriously. It really is serious stuff in there. And, you know, we hope as speakers here that People just don't think they've got something today and then that's it. What we should be doing, all of us, we should be continually reading. Next is believers, beware. We need to be aware and beware of what actually is happening in our world. Warnings are a matter of life and death. Spiritual life also has dangers and warnings. Do you know that Moses warned the Israelites to beware of forgetting the Lord once they got to the promised land? You know, and many people think very often that they're already in the promised land. But when the Israelites got to the promised land, they had all the milk and the honey and everything that they needed, and they thought that was it. And we can become very well fed, and we don't always listen maybe often to warnings. You know, many times in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus often used the word beware. And we often get warnings. Not that I drive at all these days. Muriel does all the driving, and I just sit and dictate to her. No, that's a joke. I give her the directions, and Muriel does. So if we get lost, it's my fault. But the thing is that there are directions everywhere, aren't they? You know, not so often now, but when you're driving, very often we come to level crossings and there's red lights flashing. Now, the red light doesn't mean go. The red light means stop. It's like traffic lights. You know, sometimes you can get very impatient, and if you're a driver or more an observer, as I am these days, watching people creeping up beside you, and as soon as the amber light shines, they're off. They don't even wait for the red light these days. And I must admit, I was frustrated when I watched the television news, I think it was yesterday, the day before, where you can actually use bad language to a police officer, and it's not going to be a crime anymore. You're not going to be arrested. You know, what's that all about? I mean, to say, has the place gone mad or what, that you can actually go and tell a police officer what to go and do, and he can't arrest you? Nobody else see that on the news? You did. This is one of my things. At least once a day, all of us should listen to the national news, if you have time, and the local news. And then you'll know what's going on and gives you other things to pray for. I'm not biased against the police because, you know, the thing is that at the end of the day, you think of Parliament. Have some of these people that are making these laws got any brains at all? You know, if they do it to the police, they'll start doing it to the teachers. And then where are we going to be? Hey, Jill? Yeah, where are we going to be when they tell the teacher what to go and do? Other warnings that we get. Cigarette packets. This can kill. This can endanger your life. People still smoke. But it's there. Big letters and cigarette packets. There's what, love? Really? Some cigarette. That must be the Benson and Hedges. You know, if you smoke Woodbine, you'd never see that, you see? Goodness gracious. Yeah, well, there's all those warnings and people still do it. God help us. You know, these other teachers, the Gnostics and that are, their doctrines are strange mixture. You know, mysticism, Jewish legalism, philosophy. Apparently, the Jewish legalism played a very important role. But this is no surprise. But it's very strong when it comes to practicing other religious rules. Somehow, we need to be people who do recognize that we have been birthed into freedom, not bondage that other people are in. Thing is that our freedom comes from the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. On the cross, Jesus cancelled all the debt and domination of the law. As believers under grace, the grace rule, if you like, we find life because we are not under the law. So, as I've said, if the law is going to be treated in the way that they are suggesting, then what hope do we have? I know we have always hope as believers, but for ordinary folk that don't have Jesus in their lives, you know, it looks like it's free. Thank you. We stand, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free and not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, these legalistic regulations, requirements, had to do with a lot of things. It wasn't just by attending a certain building to worship. You know, it included a lot of things. You know, people, Jesus made it very clear, you know, it was more than foods. But if you look into the history of a lot of these things, what you actually find that, through a bit of reading, that some of these legalistic things, they were weird. There is no two ways about it. If you're into history and researching, if you look back into some of these things, what you actually find is that these people would do things like, they wouldn't speak to one another for years. Now, that would be a very hard job for me and about 99% of the people in this room. But the thing is that they used not to speak for years and years and years. Then they would get the goat skins and they would only wear clothes with the hair next to their bodies. That was one of the rules. So could you imagine if we all came in here with hairy chests, what people would think? They would think that we have really lost it, wouldn't they? You know, but those were some of the things that they went into, and they wouldn't eat. Well, that mightn't be a bad thing for a while, but I mean to say you can't get by forever and a day if you don't eat. Likely God's instructions about foods even were given through Moses. You know, the physical reasons behind them as well as spiritual. At this point, Paul brings up a different matter. You know, if a man feels he is healthier for abstaining from food, then he should abstain. But he must take care, as we all must do, about this. Thing is that the legalistic system involved holy days, and once again, this was borrowed laws that came from Moses. The Old Testament was commanded to keep the weekly Sabbath, and even they'd done different things about the Sabbath. And there are still people who would call themselves Christians today, who have various thoughts about God's day, the Sabbath. Some people say that we should call our meetings not the Lord's Day, we should be calling it the Sabbath and vice versa. And I think to myself that we probably have got the balance right. The Jews had also their feast days and their special moon celebrations, and the religion was tied to a calendar. And believe it or not, Jewish people still adhere to some of the old laws that were written many, many, many hundreds of years ago. The law was a schoolmaster that helped to train and discipline Israel from the formative years of the nation, preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. And we know that one day the Messiah will return. And for those who have trusted in him, Lord knows that we will all be together again. You know, sometimes when you try to think through some of these, not issues, but some of these things, it's enough to blow your mind. On the other hand, it will make us even stronger in what we actually believe. We also have the blessing of grace. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself said that he doesn't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they had visions about these. What we need to do really is to read the word, and that is the thing that will help us most. Then let no man beguile your reward. One of the closing verses in my portion of scripture. The word translated beguile means to declare unworthy of a prize. It's an athletic term to judge by the referee that disqualifies and makes people losers and not winners. But today, we are all winners because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Paul condemned legalism, mysticism, and all other practices that were unbiblical. And today, the thing is that as we continue to worship him and love him and exalt him in our lives, in our families, in our workplace, probably two of the hardest places to be a good witness is in our workplace and in our home. But it is incumbent upon us as individuals that we obey God and that we live for him. I'm just going to finish there. I think I've come probably to the end of the PowerPoints, or James has, haven't you? Just about, have you? I don't think we're going to have question time today, are we? We've run out of time. Well, let's pray, and then I'll hand back to Graham. Father, we just thank you today, and we just thank you for your word. And as we, Lord, dwell on things that we have spoken about today, that we would have a real sense of you in our lives. Lord, you love us and we love you, and we pray today, should there be one today in our service that doesn't know you, that they, in the quietness of these moments, would say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks. Lord, we pray that you would bless us for the rest of this day. with our families, and anywhere that we can be a witness for you, may we not be shy to tell of the goodness of our God. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.